St. Gregory Nazianzen, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, our High Mass is a bit longer than usual, which is to say that's pretty long, because we have to put two Masses in together. That is to say, we don't have an evening Mass tonight because of the preparation for tomorrow's Pentecost Vigil with the Pontifical Mass preparation. So after Mass, we have the benediction, and during benediction, we continue, I can impose on your goodwill, children, to sing our Pentecost Novena hymn, the Veni Creator, which you've been singing very nicely this week, to prepare for Pentecost. Grace is for us to remember that we're soldiers of Christ now, and to pray for our future soldiers of Christ, those who will be confirmed just tomorrow. We pray for them especially. Then after that, we have the Novena that we usually pray on Friday evening. That's the Holy Ghost, the Sacred Heart Novena, and then we say there those prayers too, and then we have the benediction. In your prayers today, please remember all of our sick and our shut-ins, everyone who's helping and working at church, and especially remember Mrs. Wilker's mother, who's in the hospital, and she needs our prayers. Today, children, we have the feast day of St. Gregory Nazianzen. I don't imagine that name says anything to anybody who's in church today, but actually, he's a saint, considering that he's 4th century, about whom we know an awful lot. He's a very interesting saint. And he's a wonderful patron saint for students, for at least those of a certain kind of personality, and he's an excellent patron saint for us in the current situation in the church. St. Gregory Nazianzen was the son of a man who was converted by his mother. Her name was St. Nona, and she converted her husband, who was a pagan. His name is St. Gregory the Elder, and the both of his parents became a saint. They wanted him to be a saint too, so when he was just a very little baby, they touched his hands to the sacred scripture. So they always loved to read and to meditate on the Word of God, and they gave him a very good and a pious example. The way things were done back then, children, is that the people in a particular city or locality would just elect the man whom they considered to be the most a worthy candidate to be a bishop. So even though he was a married man, St. Gregory the Elder was the bishop, and he was elected the bishop, and he stayed a very holy bishop for many, many years of his life. When the time came for St. Gregory to go away to school, to what we would call today college, well, he made a very good friend there, and his good friend was St. Basil, and the two of them encouraged each other in virtue. Sometimes in school, especially when you get a little bit older, you might fall in with the wrong kind of crowd and make not very good friends, bad friends, but not St. Gregory. He and St. Basil were fast friends, and they encouraged each other to be good. They went to school at Athens, which was a very big city, a capital and a university city, and all full of pagans and full of all sorts of potential problems. But we would say they kept their noses clean. They just minded their business. He used to say, I only knew two streets, the one street that led to the house where we stayed and the other street that led to school. And that's all. No fooling around, no carousing or bad friends or anything like that. There was a student in their class who gave them a good example of being bad. He was a sort of the class clown, and he was always fooling around and sometimes saying pretty stupid or even absurd things to get attention for himself and never doing his work. And he grew up to be Julian the Apostate, the emperor who tried to turn the clock back and make the empire become pagan again and who persecuted the Catholic Church. So he was a good example for them as a way that they should not be. St. Gregory's personality, children, was that of an academic. He was an intellectual. He was what we call a contemplative. He was a poet. He loved a quiet life, and he would love to have been a monk, just all by himself someplace, just praying and studying and writing. But at the same time, God gave him certain talents, which from time to time he had to use for God's glory to save souls. He was an excellent orator, because he had learned that in school, or public speaker, a preacher. And he also was a very gentle soul who was very easily led by others. He never insisted on doing his own will. And because of that, for long periods of his life, he didn't get to do what he really wanted to do. Only because he was so holy, he didn't mind, and he would always obey others. His friend Basil, Saint Basil, had a very strong personality, and he was all the time telling him what to do, and he would usually do what Basil told him to do, even if he would like to have done something different. And his father, when he got back from school, said, "I need a priest, and I'm going to ordain you and make you be the priest. Help me out." He didn't want to be a priest. He would rather have just been a monk all by himself, but he had to obey his father, so he got himself ordained a priest. And then later on, St. Basil got the idea, "I need to divide my diocese, and you'd make an excellent bishop." He said, "Oh no, don't make me be a bishop. I'd really rather not. I want to be a monk." "No," he said, "you're the man for the job. You have to be a bishop." So he went along with St. Basil, and he had to become a bishop. And when he wasn't busy doing these kinds of things, he lived all by himself, and he studied, and he prayed, and he fasted, and wrote wonderful, wonderful works about our holy faith. Then there came to be a very great crisis, because the heretics took over every church in the main city, the capital of Constantinople. And the Catholics didn't even have a place for Mass, and just as is still the case in many of our cities in this country, they had to meet in somebody's home to have the Mass, because all of the churches were in the hands of the heretics, almost as it is still today. So someone thought, "St. Gregory's a man for the job. He's very holy and he's a good speaker. Let's make him be the bishop." And he didn't want to be, but he had to go along, so he went to be the bishop, and the people made fun of him because he was already sort of old and bent over, and he didn't dress very well. But never mind, he set himself up in this house that became a church, and he prayed, and he started to preach, and pretty soon, people came from all over to listen to him explain Catholic doctrine, and they said, "Well, you know, that makes sense. Let's not be heretics anymore. Let's start to be Catholics again." And pretty soon, that one little house was too small, and they grew, and they grew, and they grew, and pretty soon, all of the churches of Constantinople were Catholic again instead of heretic. Then somebody thought, "Who's this old man who's all bent over and doesn't dress very well? He doesn't make a very good bishop for the capital city. The capital's bishop should be someone who's very impressive and gets along with the better class of people. So let's get rid of him." And so they made a plot to get rid of him, and there was quite a bit of division. And St. Gregory said, "Oh, please," he said, "don't fight about me. If you don't want me to be the bishop, that's just fine with me. I'd much rather go back to my monastery, my little hermitage all by myself." And so he did, and he said goodbye and sorry for anything I did wrong. He was very humble and always very gentle. But he did a wonderful job using the talents that God gave him, children. And in a crisis moment for the Catholic Church, he saved the day by going against what he would rather do. He did what God wanted him to do. Children, today and every day of your life, there'll be something that you want to do. We're not talking here about sin versus virtue. I'm talking about something which is good, and you could very well do it. But maybe somebody needs you to do something else. And maybe that is the will of God. Now, how are you going to know the difference? Think of one of the Holy Ghost's seven gifts, the gift of counsel, which particularly helps us to decide between doing a good thing and a better thing. St. Gregory Nazianzen must have been full of the Holy Ghost's gift of counsel. So let us pray to our Mother of good counsel on occasions like that. Say a quick Hail Mary, and then ask our Blessed Mother of good counsel, "Don't let me be just always doing what I want to do. Let me be willing to go along with others and bend my will a little bit." The Holy Ghost is a specialist at that. Bend the stubborn will is what we're going to sing at Pentecost in this sequence. And go along with others to be gentle and to be humble and maybe to do some good. Children, when I don't always insist on doing my will, it's a sure thing I will be doing God's will. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.